गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर्धाये गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर्धाये जशोरनन्दना भज जनरञ्जन जशोरनन्दना भज जनरञ्जन जमुन थीरा वनचारी जमुन थीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर्धाये गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर्धाये जशोरनन्दना ब्रज जनरञ्जन जशोरनन्दना ब्रज जनरञ्जन जमुनचीरा वनचारी जमुनचीरा वनचारी जय रुक्मिणी द्वारकाधीश रुक्मिणी द्वारकाधीश रुक्मिणी द्वारकाधीश रुक्मिणी द्वारकाधीश जय जगन्नाथ जय जगन्नाथ जय बलदेव जय सुभद्रा जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 श्रील प्रभुपाद गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य असतर सत श्री श्रीमान इस्कॉन बीबीटी फाउंडर चार्ल्स वैंग्रेस एसी भक्तिदत्त स्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय Nitya Lila Prabhishta Om Vishu Padas of Angra Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Kijai. Ananta Koti Vaisar Vrinda Kijai. Nama Charja Shila Haridas Thakur Kijai. Prem Sakahosh Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopana Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Kijai. Shri Bhajamubhu Namadam Kijai. Shri Navadvip Mayapur Dham Kijai. Shri Lachal Jagannath Puri Dham Kijai. Ganga Mayi ki jai, Jamuna Mayi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Shrimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai. The most beautiful Lordship, Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarka Dish ki jai. Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarka Nath ki jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladevi Subhadar ki jai. Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. Samabhita Bhakti Rinda ki jai. Going back to home, back to Godhead ki jai. ISKCON Los Angeles Yatra ki jai. Brihad Madanga Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. International Food for Life Transcendental Prasadam Distribution ki jai. Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Kijai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga Glory Srila Prabhupada. Do I see Nitai upstairs? Hari Krishna. Hari Bo. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Yasam Atojaya Madhiraya. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is a translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Narshta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving devotional service unto the personality of God at whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing a reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're still in chapter 12, creation of the Kumaras and others. And today's text is, 27, I think, right? No, that's not the verse. I think it's 27. Can somebody confirm who's following along? Naikama, you know? I think it's 27, yeah. Shows you how not prepared I am. Anyway, we will do our best to say something relevant. Yes. Chayaya Kardamo Yagye Devahutya Patihi Prabhu Manaso Dehatash Chedam Yagye Vishvakrito Jagat. Remember, you have to pronounce the A with the diacritic as a long A, not a short A. Otherwise, the meter goes off out the window. Chaya yakardamo yagye. Devahut yak patik prabhu. Manaso dehatash chedam. Yagye vishvakrito jagat. Chaya yakardamo yagye. Deva Hutyak Patik Prabhu Manaso Dehata Shedam Yagye Vishwakrito Jagat Chaya Yakardamo Yagye Deva Hutyak Patik Prabhu Manaso Dehata Shedam Yagne Vishvakrito Jagat. Please chant. Chaya yakardamo yagne Eva hutak patik prabhu Manaso dehatas shedam Yagye vishwa krito jagat Vaishnavis. Chaya yakardamo yagye Deva hutyak pratik prabhu Manaso dehatas chedam Yagye vishvakrito jagat Chaya yakardamo yagye Nita, you want to try? Come on, you know some Bhagavad Gita verses, so you can chant this. Yes, no? Deva Hutak Patik Prabhu Manaso Dehata Shedam Yagye Vishvakrito Jagat Haribol Jaya. Thank you for that. Synonyms: Chayayaha, by the shadow. Kardamaha, Kardamamuni. Yogye, became manifested. Devahutyaha, of Devahuti. Patihi, husband. Prabhu, the master. Manasaha, from the mind. Dehataha, from the body. Cha, also. Idam, this. Yagne, developed. Vishva, the universe. Kritaha, of the creator. Jagat, cosmic manifestation. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Sage Kardama, husband of the great Devahuti, was manifested from the shadow of Brahma. Thus, all became manifested from either the body or the mind of Brahma. Please repeat. Sage Kardama, husband of the great Devahuti, was manifested from the shadow of Brahma. Thus, all became manifested from either the body or the mind of Brahma. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although one of the three modes of material nature is always prominent, they are never represented unalloyed by one another. Even in the most prominent existence of the two lower qualities, the modes of passion and ignorance, there is sometimes a tinge of the mode of goodness. Therefore, all the sons generated from the body or the mind of Brahma were in the modes of passion and ignorance, but some of them, like Kardama, were born in the mode of goodness. Narada was born in the transcendental state of Brahma. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschachadeshtarine. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeyahang Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishivaksha Sri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're getting a top-down view of our genealogy. As we've said many times, we're all related because no matter how you trace your genealogy, it comes back to Brahma and to Krishna. Every religion in the world, as we said in our last class, accepts the Lord as the Supreme Father. So now we're getting, again, a top-down view of genealogy. In other words, if you take a bottom-up, then your father, his father, his father, you keep going that way. But we're getting a top-down. First Brahma, and then his sons, and then from them, all of the universe is populated, generate. So two personalities are mentioned here. Kardama is born from the shadow of Lord Brahma. And the story of Kardama Muni and his wife, great wife, as mentioned here, Devahuti. It comes up later in this canto. I believe beginning in chapter 23, it starts and it goes all the way to the end of this canto. Kardama Muni. Devahuti is great in many ways. Her lineage, direct lineage, she's the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. He had three daughters, Akuti, Prasuti, and Devahuti was the youngest. And then he also had two exalted sons, Uttanapad and Priyavrata. Yes. So all of this history, spiritual and material, again, we're getting a top-down view of. Modern scientists, archaeologists, going back many, many years, they poo-pooed the stories of the Vedas. This is just some sages dreaming up all these things. For instance, we'll hear later on how Kardama Muni, after quite some time of marriage and apparently neglecting his wife, Devahuti, he manifested this aerial mansion and then he toured all over the universe and engaged in sense gratification before he gave her children and left home. So, for decades, if not longer, you know, these scientists, they hear these stories from the Vedas. They're just stories. But gradually, they begin to realize publicly that it's not just stories. There are certain discoveries that have made them start to change their minds. One of them is Dwarka. You read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishna constructed his city Dwarka just off the coast, west coast of India. So for many years, they thought that was just phantasmagoria. But then with modern equipment, they've been able to go down and they've discovered that there's really a wonderful city down there under the water up the coast of India. Constructed in such a way that they can't understand, which is not uncommon because there's so many constructions all over the world that they can't understand, including the pyramids, and not just the pyramids in Egypt, but there are pyramids all over the world. In South America, there are many famous pyramids. Mexico. So they're beginning to kind of publicly acknowledge that they may not have all the answers. Another one that gave them pause for thought is Ram Setu, the bridge connecting the southern tip of India to Sri Lanka. Again, they thought it was just phantasmagoria, you know, who could make a bridge that long? Back in those days, it supposedly happened 1.7 million years ago. Come on, nobody, come on, they couldn't do that. But now they're seeing, because India, the Indian government wanted to, the water in that area, southern India going to Sri Lanka, is very shallow, not deep enough for huge ships to go through. So the Indian government wanted to excavate it. They wanted to go in there and dig it out so that huge ships can go. Otherwise, they have to go around Sri Lanka and come back. And so when they wanted to do that, the public, you know, most of the public in India, they still believe, and that's the beauty of being born in India. They accept these stories as being not just stories, at least many of them are beginning to realize. It's not just stories that my grandma told. This is actual fact. So when the government wanted to go there, it would destroy that Ram Setu, because the remains are still there. It could be seen even from space. So the public, there was a real big upcry. And so they sent, again, scientists to go there and discover. And they saw that there was actually, you know, blocks upon top of blocks going down, all the way down to the sandy bottom. So it's not just some dream. There is an actual bridge there. Again, you can see it from space. This Ram Setu that connects southern India to Sri Lanka. So then they started wondering, maybe some of these other stories are really not just stories, like these stories of flying ships, vimanas, you know, like in the story of Krishna fighting Shalva. These are actual, they were actually able to fly back then, thousands of years ago. Yeah. So we don't waste time waiting for the scientists to rubber stamp what becomes obvious. We simply accept the Vedic canons as they are presented to us. And we're very fortunate because, again, on our spiritual side of our genealogy, we're connected to personalities like Isla Bangla, Srila Prabhupada, like his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we just observed his appearance day. These are not ordinary persons, obviously. If you read Prabhupada's books that he produced in less than 12 years, it's just amazing. I mean, who could fathom? Just to produce Bhagavad Gita as it is, anybody would be over the top happy to produce such a book in their lifetime. But that's just the beginning. You have the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, at least up to 10th Canto, chapter 13, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But of course, Prabhupada gave us the entire 10th Canto in the form of Krishna book. So his writings are just amazing. And then his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we've heard what an intellect he had. Even though English was not his first language, he was born in Bengal. Actually, he was born in Orissa. But his command of the English language was such that the big, big English intellectuals of his day, they couldn't follow him. They couldn't follow his speeches in English. They had to like run for dictionaries. He was so profound in his speech. And we're not just saying that. His writings are documented, like his beginning to the Brahma Samhita, his commentary on the Brahma Samhita, how he starts out his foreword. The materialistic dominion cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat who's ever inviting the fallen conditioned souls to associate with him through devotion or eternal serving mood. Just that one sentence. That's one sentence. I mean, you have to scratch your head for years to try to figure out what he's saying. So these are not ordinary persons. This is our good fortune that we've come in contact with these personalities. So now in today's verse, again, dealing with Kardama Muni and Devahuti. So Kardama Muni, having taken birth from Mara, he took the path of renunciation or initially. But at some point, he wanted to marry. So Swayambhuva Manu gave his youngest daughter, Devahuti. And again, as mentioned here, she's a great personality. It's not that sometimes people think that in the past, you know, women were downtrodden. No, they were appreciated. Otherwise, why is Devahuti referred to here as a great soul? But not just because of her material situation, not because just because she was beautiful, but because she understood the spiritual values in life. So at the end, in the last chapter of the third canto, chapter 33, I believe it is, yeah. So there's one verse there, because she said many things, but one thing that really stands out, most of the preachers know, there are many big preaching verses in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam Sisi. So one big verse that all preachers should know, Aho Bhata Sapacho Togariya. And that's a very famous verse spoken by Devahuti, recorded for history. Not that the women were overlooked. Her speech was recorded and is appreciated up to today. But she also said other things that are not so maybe prominent to preachers, but one of the things that she said that really stuck out to me, in the 23rd chapter, I think it is, of the third canto, after they've toured the universe and had fun for quite some time, her husband, Kardama Muni, impregnated her. And the same day, she gave birth to 9 daughters. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We see the ladies in our community, sometimes they get pregnant and they're walking around for months. You know, it's not fun. Any mothers here? Put your hand up if you have any children. Yeah, so you can attest. It's not fun, 9 months of carrying this child in the womb. But Devahuti, again, they're on a different level of creation, got pregnant and gave birth to 9 daughters the same day. But at that point, her husband, Kardama, wanted to again go back to his life of renunciation. So the chapter is entitled Devahuti's Lamentation. And in that chapter, there's this verse that stuck out to me where she said, Soham Bhagavato Nunam Bhantita Maya Ajadam Yastam Vimukti Papya Na Mumukcheya Bhandana Na Yastam Vimukti Nam Papya. She says, Soham Bhagavato Nunam. She refers to her husband as my lord, which would not be popular nowadays for. And we can't blame the ladies nowadays. Who would want to call some ordinary guy my lord? Her husband, Kardama Muni, was not an ordinary man. So she had no problem referring to him as my lord. She says, my lord, surely I have been cheated by the insurmountable material energy of the Supreme Lord. Why? Because although I had your association, which can give liberation, I did not try for it. That was her lamentation. She didn't lament that, hey, we didn't enjoy long enough and maybe you should have taken me to another universe. No, that was not her lamentation. She was lamenting that you're leaving home and I'm not liberated and you could give me liberation and I did not ask you for that. So what was his response? He gave her another child. Who was that? Kapila, right. So this third canto is full of Kapila's instructions to his mother so that she can become liberated. That's the beauty of this third canto. Full of Lord Kapila's instructions, pretty much, again, to instruct his mother so that she could be liberated, because that was her desire. She didn't say, you know, you didn't leave enough money in the bank or nothing like that. No, just give me liberation. I want to get out of here. So even on that high level of existence, you could just imagine, again, she had a husband who could give her a flying castle that could travel, and not can, but did travel all over the universe. Anything material she wanted, she could have had. But that was not her motivation. So what to speak of us on this, you know, tiny little earth planet here? What can we have? What can you gain? You know, another car made out of steel that, you know, You ride down the street and drive down the street and some bicycle can go by and scratch it. And, not very impressive, the things that we chase after in this material world today on this planet. You know, we want the latest iPhone or this, and it's nothing. It's just like broken pieces of glass that people are chasing after. And they're not satisfied. We all know. You chase after it. You want it. You make it your goal in life to get the latest iPad, iPhone, Mercedes, whatever, and you get it, and you're still not happy. You're still not happy. So many stories we've told over the years of people who've had a lot materially from our viewpoint, compared to the demigods, obviously not very much, but from our viewpoint, somebody who has a big business and 5 homes around the world and 10 cars or even more. There's one movie star here in LA who's famous around the world for having a garage with 200 cars. Does that mean he's a happy camper? No, he just had a motorcycle accident recently, almost died. So having all the material stuff we should know is not going to make us happy. That's a starting point. And we know it intrinsically, and that's why when we come across this tradition, we are attracted, because here is an opportunity to not just be liberated, some pie in the sky conception of liberation that later on down the road maybe perhaps you'll go back to the kingdom of God. No, right now you can enjoy like anything. People are eating every day, but most people still on this planet, they eat abominable flesh foods, meat, fish, eggs. But first photo, we come to ISKCON and we eat cake. And not just any cake, because everybody can say they're eating cake also. This wife of Louis XIV, Marie Antoinette, she was famous for saying, "Let them eat cake." Actually, historians say that's not actually what she said. When you make a cake, inevitably when you take it out of the pan, there are some burnt pieces that are stuck in there. So that's what she was saying. That's why it was an insult, and that's why they killed her. But anyway, we're eating real cake. This is cake. No fish, no eggs, no meat in there. This was the cake that was served at lunchtime on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance day. Who could turn that down? Did everybody get a piece? Put your hand up if you got a piece of that cake. Yeah, most of you did. Was it good? Yeah. Who made the cake? Toshini Bhakti. See, we go to lunch and we eat and we don't even bother to find out who made it. She's one of the best cake makers I've ever met, and I've known some really good cake makers in my life. So we come here, and we're not denied anything. I put some pictures of the feast on my Facebook page, and our godbrother Rupananda said, "Why is it that some people think..." No, he said, "Many people think that, what do vegetarians eat?" Just look. Even at just go to Govinda's any day and look at the menu there. What to speak of on a feast day. You see what vegetarians and vegans can eat. So we're not denying anything. We don't say don't eat or don't eat nicely. Just don't eat any meat, fish, or eggs. It's not necessary. Just unnecessarily giving pain to the animals, and you're also giving pain to yourself. It's not good for your body, and it's not good for you spiritually, because down the road you're going to have to suffer the reactions. And therefore, when we come to Krishna consciousness, this is one of the first things. Prasadam is the secret weapon. Not everybody's inclined philosophically. They don't want to remember verses that Devahuti spoke or whatever. But everybody can relate to a nice maha cake. And then once we get attached to that, this is the beginning of preaching. Just go out and invite others. Next. So here in Yudwarka, we have our A team, we call it, the academic team. Myself and the Runter, we've been doing this for decades. And now we're trying to introduce some of the younger devotees to come out. So this is a class we attended on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, at Palos Verdes High School. We've been going there for decades. And I was reminded, by the teacher, her name is Mindy. She reminded me that I spoke to a class that she was in at the same school. This was maybe early 90s, or mid-90s. So she was a student there. The teacher's name was Mr. Macklin, and he'd been inviting us for a long, long time. He's now retired. So now she's a teacher in the same school. She has 4 sons. 2 of them are in the school. One is a senior. The other one is a couple grades behind. So this is how preaching works. We don't have to, she never became a devotee. She never came here. But she's so favorable. She signs off all her emails, Hare Krishna. And now that she's a teacher, every semester she invites us to speak there. And she encourages the students to, you know, ask good questions and read the books, etc., etc. So this is how preaching works. You go out and you plant seeds. You don't know how they're going to fructify. I didn't know that. I didn't even remember until she reminded me that she was in that class. So she was a student. We went there and spoke, and she took it seriously enough that now she's very much favorable and invites us to speak all the time whenever she teaches comparative religion, which it's amazing that that subject, you know, survives, because in the secular world, they don't want to hear anything about God. So it's an elective. The students are not forced to take it. You can elect to take this comparative religion course, which many students do. And so they meet us. And then next picture. And then, Harinam. So we have our academic preaching, we have our regular book distribution, and we have Harinam. Every Friday we go to Santa Monica. And we have one of our new devotees, Bhakta Maxim. And you can see how happy he is. Approaching people, giving them the books. So this is continuity. Srila Prabhupada started his movement by chanting in the streets, by personally distributing his books to bookstores and individuals. And those who were initiated by Prabhupada, like myself, Brigapati, etc., Maharaj, we took up that mission to go out in the streets and chant and distribute Prabhupada's books. And it's continuing. Very latest generation. Thank you, Bhakta Maxim. So now we can leave this world. We are going to leave. We're all in our 70s going on. Maharaj is already 90 years old. We're going to leave. So you have to take this seriously. It's very simple. You don't have to scratch your head how to spread Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave us book distribution, prasadam distribution, Harinam, festivals, topmost deity worship. These are the things you just have to maintain. You don't have to scratch your head, anything new, what else can we do? No, just maintain what Prabhupada gave us. That's all. So I want all of you young devotees to make that, take that to heart. You know, people say, oh, you guys are not relevant. You know, yeah, we are. Because the real goal of life is to get out of this crazy place and go back to the spiritual world, kingdom of God, Krishna Loka. And this is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. And it's not something that we made up. It's not something that Prabhupada made up. He used to say, I'm not making anything up new. I'm just passing on that which is ordained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam. Kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. Gatiranyata. When you want to make a point, in Sanskrit poetry, three times. So Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam. Must go out and chant. It's not the Hare Krishna movement if there's no chanting of Hare Krishna. You see? So I implore all of you. We can never have too many devotees on Harinam. If we get the party becomes too big, we'll split up. Some will go to the pier, some will go to Promenade, some will go to Westwood, some will go to Hollywood. There are enough nice spots for chanting. So everybody should make it their business. Go out. As I was telling the devotees last night, we only go out once a week here. Most of us anyway. Some of us, like Madhava Mahotsava, he goes out a lot. But in the early days, we used to have to go out every day. Regardless of what your service was, you'd have to go on Harinam every day for at least a couple of hours. And I asked them, why do you think that's so important? Why? Because it forces you to identify yourself as a Hare Krishna devotee. You see? When you go out and you're on this side of the line chanting, facing the people on the other side, you're identifying yourself as a devotee of Krishna. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this is most important. You have to get to the point where you identify yourself as a devotee of Krishna first and foremost. Not as an American or an Indian or a Russian or a Ukrainian or Martian. No, your identity is first and foremost, I am a devotee servant of Krishna. So when we get to that point, we're home free. When you think of yourself as a servant of Krishna, you see everybody else as servants of Krishna. And you just have to remind them if they don't remember. And the best way to remind them is to give them a book, give them prasadam. And if nothing else, the chanting, they cannot get rid of that. It goes in the ear and it goes to the heart. And it will sit dormant for years. Just Maxim was telling me, I asked him about that couple that he was distributing books to, and he said that woman told him that she grew up around the Hare Krishnas, but she just never really got into it. So when she was so happy when he approached her with the books. So there are many, many people like that out in the world. Many, many people like that. They've heard of the Hare Krishnas, they've seen us, but we've never really made direct contact with them. And that's all it takes. Just one devotee to go up and say, "Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, take this book." They take the book and something goes. But even again, even if they don't take the book, the chanting goes in the ear. And as I have said many times, those who go like this, and they cover their ears when they hear the chanting, but it's too late. Hare Krishna already went in, and the damage has been done. And Krishna will slowly but surely reel them in. That's Krishna's job. Our job is just to go out and plant the seeds, chant, give the books, give the prasadam, and Krishna will reel them in. And go back to the cake picture. So, if you don't know how to make a cake like this, learn from Toshini. She's expert. And not only just for festivals, when I was in Moscow, I've told this story before, when I was in Moscow in 1995. Yeah, 95. There were two temples in Moscow at that time. There was one in an area called Begovaya. So they would call that one Moscow Begovaya. And they had Radha Krishna deities. And in the other temple, they had Gornitai deities. So they called that Moscow Gornitai. So at Moscow Begovaya, they had a huge food for life program. They would go out every day and distribute, you know, simple prasadam. Some bread rolls and some porridge or a simple sabji made of carrots and potatoes, which is all they could really afford, even for themselves, what to speak of distributing to the public. They didn't have, you know, a lot of money to make opulent prasadam like we have here. But at the same time, they had a food for money program. They had a kiosk that was right there on the temple compound. And every day, there were long, long lines going around the block. People coming to buy cakes like this and, you know, other kinds of sweets and sandwiches that they would sell. So both things have to go on. It's not that we should always just give away the prasadam. No, Prabhupada said at one point, don't open any more temples. Open restaurants/reading rooms. Restaurant means you're selling the prasadam. You're not giving it away. So restaurant/reading room. And in the restaurant, there should be the books so people can sit down at their leisure. They can read and they can take prasadam. But the reason why I showed you the cake again, at that time in Moscow, I don't know if they still do it, but the devotees were very intelligent because being in Russia, it's not so easy to get permission to have a, you know, Harinam or a festival or whatever. So whenever they would go to some government official to ask permission to do something, they would bring a huge cake like this. They would go to the guy's office. Usually it was a man, and you know, sitting at a desk somewhere, and they would put the cake on his desk. And then they would sit there and ask, you know, permission. And meanwhile, the guy's only staring at the cake. So whatever they asked for, he already made up his mind. Yes. Because he wanted to taste that cake. So we should be intelligent. Not just, you know, food for life has to go on, but we could intelligently make nice prasadam and approach anyone. Anyone would be attracted to very nice, beautiful prasadam. And we know the potency is there because it's been offered to the Lord. And anyone who eats Krishna prasadam, their material life is over. Jai. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Sure. So, I'm flying on that plane. The airplane's going up. It's going over the ocean. I'm never able to see any better into the ocean at any level. Well, why is it they can see this bridge get up in space?
Because they're using different frequency. It's not just our eyes are limited by what